The ones down here, that was a picture of one of the subs I was on, and this is the other one. I was on two submarines during World War II. And this is a prayer of the Submariner, and it was my dear wife, Connie, he did that. He put it all together and told us, and so it really worked out well. So I'd like you to read it, and if you can, otherwise I'll come back and read it to you. But I'm going to start out by telling you how I became a sailor in the Navy. I graduated from high school, and I was, I had two choices. Actually, only one choice, because the other choice was I'd be drafted. But so I had a choice that I could join. So I wanted to be in the Navy, and I didn't want to be drafted, so I joined the regular Navy. And I feel I joined one of the greatest navies the world has ever seen, with more ships, all regards to Birch Baker from the British Navy. But we were a tremendous navy, and the submarine was a separate part of it. Now, the submariner is what we're called, but a submariner, there is nobody that had to go to sea on a submarine. They were all volunteer. Everybody was a volunteer. So I'll give you a little sequence of how I fit in and why I became a submariner. I was 17 years old, and in 1993, which was a big year for me. In fact, I better tell you what happened in 1943. In 1943, I did. I graduated from high school. I joined the Navy, and my wife-to-be, Connie, was born. I've got more laughs out of that thing. I told it to a lot of people, but I got a new audience. I have to bring it on. But at 17 years old, I went to boot camp in out by Chicago, and it was about a 3 months go, and you come out as a seaman second class. That's at the bottom of the totem pole. You couldn't get much any lower than that, I don't think. So it was a great experience, not one that I would want to do over again. But then I was assigned to. I was assigned to the torpedo school in Norfolk, Virginia. And Norfolk was a total sailor's town. I mean, some people even had signs on dogs and sailors keep off the grass. I mean, that was actually true. And there was just tons of sailors. And there was a tattoo parlor, I think, on every corner. And how the good Lord kept me from getting a tattoo, I don't know. But I know if I got one, my mother would have done me in really good. Anyway, I went to torpedo school, and here I was, I turned 18 then, and I looked like I should have been in Stone High School. I really had a very young look, and it caused me problems even when I got out of the Navy and went to work. No one thought I was old enough to do it or had any experience. But when the warrant officer came in and said, we're going to need third-class torpedo men in the near future, and if you make a 3.8 on all of your studies, that will automatically get you third class. Well, this is big time, you know. I mean, you go from a seaman second to a petty officer third class. So I have enough brains to say, this is a good deal. I can get out of all those lousy details and be a petty officer. So I did make the grade. But then the warrant officer called us back in and told me, he said, we may have a problem rating you because no one would believe you. You're too young. And I said, baloney, look at you didn't say what it looked like. I mean, so I had to fight for it, but I did. I was rated torpedo man third class. And then he wanted volunteers to go into the service. And they wanted volunteers for submarines, they wanted volunteers for destroyers on the beach, because torpedoes were basically just on destroyers and submarines. So I decided I would volunteer for submarines. And so I volunteered and went through submarine school up near where you were, Massachusetts. I was at London, Connecticut, and spent about 6 months up there studying and starting out. My first dive in a submarine was on a World War I submarine. You had to stand to eat. I mean, it was incredible. I was wondering why I had joined the submarines when I first got on that boat. They're all referred to as boats, not ships. All submarines are boats. And so, being on that at the base for that period of time, then I finished the school there, and I was assigned to the USS Devilfish as the first crew. It was just being launched in Philadelphia. And the launching was a big event, and my parents both came down. They were able to come down from Cleveland, Ohio, and when they commissioned the USS Devilfish. So I was on the crew. I was in the forward torpedo room. That's where I spent all my time. And after we went out for trials, we went out, went back up to New London, and went to a couple other places. We were in Rhode Island, different places, trying it out, checking the boat. We made our first deep dive. The boats were rated at 600 max. We went down to 504 feet, and we came out okay. And so the reason I have these numbers is I have a book here where I kept track of it during my time in the war years. So I have some accurate numbers that I'm sure I could never remember. So after we got underway, we headed toward Panama. We were on our way to Pearl Harbor. So we made our first stop in Key West, Florida. But on the way down, we went by Cape Hatteras, and Cape Hatteras is one of the roughest places in the Atlantic Ocean. I got so sick, I thought I was going to die, and I swore I'd never go to sea on a submarine. But by the time I got to Key West, everything mellowed out, and after that, I never had a serious problem. It was really strange. But boy, was I sick. So we pulled into Key West, and a hurricane was coming in. So they said, you can't tie up here. You're going to have to go out and ride it out. So we went out and rode out this hurricane. We were down for something like 20, 28 hours, I think, that we were down. But the waves were 30 foot high. I mean, it was just incredible. And we were at 200 feet, and we were still rocking about 13 degrees. I mean, it was just... And then we were afraid to surface, because in surfacing, a wave could catch us and flip us in monstrous ways. But thank the Lord we did. We made it, and we came out. So then we headed to Panama through the canal, and it was the funniest thing to see us in the canal. We were in the bow of an aircraft carrier, and we were down there along with them in the locks going through the canal. We looked like a rowboat down there compared to that aircraft carrier. And so we went up the on our way to Pearl Harbor, and I remember we had Thanksgiving dinner on our way up, obviously Thanksgiving, and that was one day I got sick. I mean, I got seasick again one day, and the next day I was okay. So I never was able to finally figure why that had happened. But on the way up, every time that you, every day I should say, you trim the boat. The diving officer checks how fast it'll go down, the temperature of the water, and so that when you dive, everything will go smoothly and you just go down. Well, this one time, it was a major total goof off. We are not sure why everything, but we took a dive and we kept going. We went past the 600 mark, which our boat was setting. We started shooting water out of some things that were breaking, and I was standing holding onto the bunk, and all the stuff was rolling forward. And we broke all the dishes in the kitchen, I think it was. And It was an amazing thing. I mean, it was so frightening, you just can't imagine. And we went down, and we were back and down flank, and we finally leveled off. I'm not sure what it was, but it had to be 700 or 800 feet. And it was so crushed when we first got down, you couldn't even open a locker or anything. I mean, it popped some pretty good leaks in it. But then when we came up, we had blown all the tanks, water out of the tanks, so we get buoyancy coming up. And so when we hit the top, we came out like that. You see this in movies. People, we don't do those things, but we did this time. And we hit the surface, and by the same token, all the stuff that went that this way all went that way, you know. I mean, it was all total reverse. So it was one of the most frightening war experiences I had, and it wasn't at war. We pulled into Pearl Harbor, and a third of the crew said they won't go back on that sub. That frightened that many people. My first class didn't. He went on another one, and another third class who I stood up at his wedding before it, he went on another one. But the sad part of the whole thing is that every one of them were lost on other subs. And I said, why I say, you know, I can't answer that. I don't know, but I just said, no, I'm going to stay with it. And so I did stay with it. And then we got into Pearl Harbor, went to the Royal Hawaiian for a week, and did some things. And then we headed out on our first war patrol. We headed out for Saipan, and then up to the, I want to get this in the right order here. And so on that first war patrol, we didn't have too much luck of anything. We ran into another Japanese submarine. We were right off the coast of Japan. And we took a couple of shots at we finally found him and took a couple of shots at him, but he was only 1,500 feet in front of us when we found him, and so we didn't have time to make a plot, so we missed him. Then he dove and got away. So it was a pretty harrowing experience with him. So we had various things that happened on that. Let me get this in order, because I don't want to be our first world patrol. And then we had a problem. We were up there, and all of a sudden the Japanese planes came in on us. They were diving, and we had to dive. And it took us 7 times the surface. Every time we broke the surface, a zero would come in on us. And we didn't know why. You know, you don't usually have things like that happen. But the zero would come in on us, and we had to dive. So I said in my book, it tells me we were 34 hours underwater, and we submerged. And in 34 hours, we were totally out of air. We couldn't breathe hardly. See, we aren't like the new subs, the nuclear subs that can go for years almost. But we could, if we were to, we were at a point where we had to go up on the 7th climb. There was no, we were dying. I mean, we couldn't breathe. There was no, a lot of the guys smoked at that time, and you couldn't even light a cigarette. I mean, you couldn't light a match. You couldn't do anything. I mean, it was just, we were dying. So we got every gun we had. We had 2 big deck guns, but all of small arms. We got everything. So we broke the surface. Not a zero up there. And we couldn't figure it, so the Lord must have been looking after us or something at that point, because it was a terrible experience. And we came out of it. We did some other things. We saw some different boats. We were 2.5 miles off the coast. I could see. They allowed me to look at their periscope one time, and I could see a train going by and cars and people. We were that close. And then a ship came through there, but it was too shallow for us to go in. Yeah, and so we had to bypass that. So we had, time and time again, we had chances to get from a ship. We had a couple of hospital ships go by. And then we let them go because we weren't about to shoot a hospital ship. Let's see what I got here. Okay, on our second, we went back in and we went to Guam and spent a week at the rest camp on Guam for R&R, and that worked out very well. We enjoyed that. And then on our second patrol, we were out, we had been out, we were close, very close to the to Japan, and we were on the surface because our radar would be picked up immediately if we were running our radar. So we were running just with lookouts, looking at the scenery there. And all of a sudden, the plane came out of a cloud, a zero, and dove on us. And this zero, I don't know how he did it, but he hit us right smack in the middle. We thought he had a bomb on it, or it was a great big thud, and we thought we probably had a bomb. But obviously he didn't have a bomb. If he had, we'd have blown us to pieces. But when we finally surfaced, we had two great big pieces of airplane and a lot of small pieces, and so we knew we had been hit by a kamikaze. The only submarine in the history of the United States Navy to be hit by a submarine. And our patrol was said that we did okay, and so we had a successful patrol because a submarine got a plane. So then we, let's see, after that, we, oh yeah, we went back to Pearl. And, well, we went back to Saipan for some repairs, so that we could go. But the fact is that we would have to go back to Pearl for a major overhaul because we were a mess. And this is the time that we hit that big typhoon that hit Okinawa. I think Rudy was in that and didn't even knew about that. So we started back to Saipan in the Marianas. And this typhoon, we were on the edge of the typhoon, and just huge waves. It was just unbelievable. The front of the submarine, as you can see, is oval like this. Well, it was pounded back a good 2 feet, 1.5, 2 feet. That the waves just pounded it back. It pounded every inch of paint off of the thing. We were rushed from bow to stern. And when we hit, finally we had to go back, went to Pearl, and all our periscopes were tied down with ropes. Our periscopes were out. We were just a royal mess. Just a miracle that we survived the thing. It was just an absolute miracle. Because when the plane hit, we had lots of leaks. So I remember coming back from the quarter room and sticking my head in the control room, and there was water all over the place, flying, sparks flying. I mean, we thought we had it. But somehow, again, we made it. And we were able to survive. So we went back to Pearl, and there we spent 3 weeks at the Royal Hawaiian Hotel. It was really a terrible thing, but we managed to enjoy ourselves. And after those 3 weeks, we took the boat out for trials after they put it all together. And then we headed out on New Year's Eve, not knowing if we'd ever see anybody again. You know, we were going out for more to war patrols. So we left on New Year's Eve. We were all very unhappy because we felt they could have at least waited a day or two, given us New Year's Eve in Honolulu. But we took off and we went to...
What year is this, Jack?
Let's see, Pearl then. Oh, during that time, I got promoted. I became a second-class torpedoman, and my pay was raised to $172 a month. That was big time, because all submariners get 50% above regular pay. So that was big time for us at that time. I'm not sure what that calculated into today, but this was 66, 55 years ago, something like that.
What year, Jack?
This was in 1945, yeah. No, 44 probably, and into 45, you know. So, so then we left Guam, we left Pearl, and went back on our third war patrol. And we were destined right to Tokyo. And so we were right off Tokyo Bay and monitoring any ships going in and out of that. And then after that, we had, they sent us north because there were some subs that were trapped in the Yellow Sea up north. And so we were sent up to try to decoy them, which we loved. And here we are trying to be a decoy to help them get out. And so we went up north, and then it was so cold. We got up there, and we were not too far from Vladivostok in Russia. And it got so cold, it was just terrible. The water was so cold that we had condensation on the steel, and it was dripping. And so all of our beds, everything was damp. I mean, it was just the most uncomfortable situation you can imagine. We had to have a jacket on all the time. It was just miserably cold. So that was just a part of it. We went back in on that second patrol, and then, no, here we are, oh no. On that patrol, we went on lifeguard duty, which is picking up pilots who were shot down or perhaps sometimes just engine problems or something like that. We picked up seven pilots, Air Force people, that were in the water. They were off a B-29 that had flown in for a bombing raid. 500 planes were in the sky over Japan at that time. And these guys, we picked them out of the water. So that was, we took them back into Guam, and that was another patrol over. Then on our fourth patrol, we went up to off of Japan again, and we went into Torishima Island, because there was a radar station there that was causing us a lot of problems. And so we had these two 5-inch deck guns. I was a sight setter on the 5-inch deck gun. Actually, when I first came on, they had me assigned as a first loader. And the gunnery sergeant looked at me and said, there's no way that you could be a first loader. I weighed about 135 pounds, and those shells weighed almost 100 pounds. I mean, and they had to throw them in the breech. And so, I mean, you know, so I got the job of sitting on the side on the as a sight setter. And I had headphones on the bridge. That's why, partly why my hearing is bad, because we had no real protection against that. And that 100-pound shell would go off right about there, and it was tough times. So then we got word that at Torishima they had this radar station, and we were going to make a landing party. We decided we'd make a landing. The executive officers got a few of us together, so I volunteered for that too. And we were going to go ashore and blow that balloon radar station up. So instead, the captain had better thoughts and said, no, we'll just shoot, we'll just bombard it with a 5-inch gun. So we did. Says we fired some 48 rounds, and that was, we did destroy it by firing it. So, and the war was now just grinding down. It was getting to the end. And we got word that we should go to Midway Island. So that ended our fourth war patrol. And so we went to Midway. Nobody knew. We went back with seven other boats. And just like the war was still on, because we didn't know another submarine, a Japanese submarine was out there and going to be a hero and, you know, pick off a couple of us. So we went back just the same as if we were at the war, and we really were. So we went to Midway Island, which has got the big loony birds, which is the funniest looking bird you've ever seen. Great, large birds. We all call them goony birds. And so we stayed in Goonyville. And that was on our way back. And then we left there and we got word that we would go to San Francisco. And so my first sighting of San Francisco was coming in, seeing the tall buildings, and going under the Golden Gate Bridge. So it was quite an experience. I'd never been on the West Coast before. And so I'd all gone to the canal if I had done that. So I didn't. So it was quite a thing, and very, very moving. I had some great experiences in San Francisco, and then we got word that we were going to be decommissioned. So we went up to, I can't think of the name of the place, but we took the sub up there, and we put it out of commission, and then I got assigned to the scabbard fish and went down to San Diego. And I was on that scabbard fish till I left the Navy. So I was in the Navy 3 years and 12 days. My whole thing was on the submarines. And it was an experience that could never happen to anybody again. It was just incredible. And the times that I could tell you, time and time again, more than anything I've mentioned, that we could have never come back. I can't believe that I'm still here, and I am. But it was an incredible experience that it would sober anybody. I mean, it's just tremendous. So I thank the good Lord for keeping me, and I think it was an experience that I wouldn't trade for anything because of that. But it made a man out of me, I'll tell you, in a very short time.
If there's some questions, maybe we'll pass the microphone around so that we can get it on the video. But Janet and I were wondering if we used to see you, because did you ever go into Central Illinois? We used to go out and watch the submarine races out in the Boneyard Creek in Champaign, Illinois.